Okay, good morning. Welcome to Personal Finance, Security, and Technology Committee meeting for October 7th. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Raleigh?
I'm here.
Director Cox?
Present.
Chair Hoffman?
I am also here. For item two, approval of the agenda. Did everything look okay for the agenda?
Yep.
Okay.
Looks good.
Thank you. Item three, approval of the meeting summary from September 9th. How does that look, everybody?
Looks good.
That is fine.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to four, finance reports. Does anybody have any questions or wish to pull anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Hearing no, thank you. We'll move on to business then. Five, discuss approval of new janitorial service contract with an Image Clean. I'm going to send this over to Latrice.
Go right to Latrice. Yeah, go ahead, Latrice.
Good morning. Okay, so here we're here to discuss the approval of a new janitorial contract with Imagine Clean Janitorial Services. So today's objective is to have new janitorial because the current one that we have has a lot of deficiencies in cleanliness standards. There's just been things not taken care of in the office, the restrooms, the vacuuming, just, you know, basic janitorial. It has declined over time. We had solicited quotes from multiple vendors, and we had actually asked them to come out to our facilities to look at our building to see what we are needing that's here at our headquarters and at our operations. And so the vendors that came out was Janpro, Magnificent, Imagine Clean, and of course our current provider. So after meeting with all the vendors, we chose Imagine Clean. The owner met all of our needs. He knew exactly what we were looking for. He actually pointed out things to us that we didn't even notice that should be taken care of also in regards to cleaning. And they had also had the most reasonable price. This item is included in the fiscal year 26 budget under building maintenance. Staff is requesting the committee review this item and recommend forwarding to the Board of Directors for approval of the following. Staff recommends the Board of Directors approve services with Imagine Clean for $39,180 annually for janitorial services.
Just before questions or discussion, if I could just add, this item is usually under my signing authority. That's our current vendor. We recognize this is an administrative thing, right? Buildings need janitorial services. Because it exceeds my signing authority, it's coming to you. But generally speaking, we're being responsive to the needs of you know, what's working, what's not. Clearly, our current vendor, which we've tried for how many years have we been working with them?
About 3 years.
Constant communication about challenges and problems, and we don't see the general need or the general service responding to the needs that we expect. So I appreciate Latrice bringing this forward. And yes, I recognize this is really administrative in terms of what we're asking, but we bring it to you because it's beyond my signing authority.
Perfect. Thank you. Director Cox, do you have any questions regarding this?
I am very thankful that we are getting a new service provider. I've noticed the facilities not being well kept for quite some time now. So thank you, Latrice, for taking the initiative to putting these quotes together. I support this recommendation, and I think we can put it on consent.
Director Raleigh?
Good. I just had one question. Do they come every day? Is it they come in the evenings?
Right. So here they come twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, in the evenings after staff is gone at this building, but operations building, same days, but they come in the morning, like about 6 o'clock.
I'm good.
Perfect. Thank you. Then I guess we'll just go ahead and move that over to the consent items. Thank you. Thank you, Latrice.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll move on to item six, which is discussion purchase of a new Exagrid appliance. Trevor's going to take this one, I understand.
Yeah, Trevor can kick this right off.
Good morning. This probably isn't a completely new topic. I know I've touched on some of the technology that the IT department here at the water agency uses. So we may have touched on this piece of equipment in the past. So what is an exagrid? Essentially, it's an appliance that attaches to the network, and it consists of an array of hard disks. So it's a big storage device. Our exagrids are configured in the way we use them for backup of data sets and live data, and we have two of them. We keep one here at the HQ office and another one at a remote site, and those two mirror each other. So for lack of a better term, this would be like if you bought an external hard drive or a really big flash drive. This is an industrial version of that. And the big difference being between something you might buy at a consumer level is the redundancy. And you can see in this picture, this is an actual picture of an exagrid. So each one of those bays is a hard drive. They use a technology. I won't get too into the weeds and bore you too much, but it's RAID, redundant array of inexpensive disks, and it uses a striping technique where a little bit of data is stored on each drive, and they end up overlapping so that you can lose a certain number of hard drives depending on the type of striping you've set up. So this kind of commonly happens. We lose a drive out of one of these types of systems, be it a server or a network attached storage, maybe once or twice a year, and then we just pop a new one in and it rebuilds the array. So the Mojave Water Agency is a very data-driven organization. We collect a lot of information and we try to make data-based decisions. So that data has value. And I feel like sometimes that the value of information or data storage can get overlooked until it's absent. You know, and a perfect example of this is the San Bernardino County attack, where they lost all kinds of systems, and it took them a really long time to recover. And so looking at these kinds of systems, keeping them in good working order is important because our data is important. So why the exagrid specifically? The exagrid system has a feature that allows for time lock, which combats the ability for ransomware to overwrite our backup data sets. And I did a little bit of a security brief shortly after the San Bernardino County attack happened. And this is one of the features that we have that they didn't have. This is the only vendor who actually offers this feature. So it works a lot like a bank vault. When we write a data set to the drive, a backup set, it does not allow that data set to be overwritten until it is expired. So even I, as the administrator, if, say, my account were to get hacked, I don't have the ability to overwrite that. Once you've set that time, then that time is hard set in the system, which is a great feature for combating those types of attacks, because it doesn't matter what sorts of systems ransomware accesses, your data is still, like, secure. And then I mentioned the RAID, or redundant array of drives. Our system, the way it's currently configured and what we're looking at ordering, can take up to two hits. So two drives can fail simultaneously before we start to encounter data loss. But even then, we have two systems that mirror each other. So realistically, we could lose every drive in a system and still rebuild off of the mirror as long as it didn't fail. So why the upgrade? And I put this picture here because I thought it was kind of amusing. I used to work in the consulting world, and sometimes you would go to businesses and you would see equipment that looked like this. I promise you, we don't keep our exagrid, and this was not meant to tie in with Latrice's presentation on cleaning. But it shows aged equipment, and that's what we have. We purchased the exagrid in 2014, and they've run very well for us, but we've started to see some signs of instability. We experienced a power blink here at the office, and the voltage fluctuated just enough to make that system experience a blip, I guess would be the best way to put it. It started to tell us that it was seeing drive failures that weren't actually failed. And we had already budgeted to replace the system, just knowing the age of it. But when you couple the age of the equipment with the fact that we're starting to see some signs of instability, that reinforces the need for a new system. And I put this bullet point here, like, imagine if you were using your cell phone from 2014. you know, that you would take these grainy photos and, you know, you wouldn't have very much capability. So we're looking at upgrading something that is pretty critical to the way we do business that's been here for a really long time. One of the other main drivers behind the need to upgrade is that the system does not run at a very high speed compared to what like a standard networking speed is. So our network runs at 10 gigabits per second in the server rack, at least. So all our servers can communicate really fast. It means backups can happen really fast. Data that's being transferred back and forth between servers, and this isn't specific to the Exagrid, but sometimes you will house a database on one server and the application on another server. Having that 10 gig backbone means that they can communicate very fast. The problem is the Exagrid doesn't have the ability to communicate at those speeds, so it's the slowest piece of equipment in the rack. So anything that has to communicate with this device is bottlenecking down to 1 gig, so it's 1/10 of the speed of the rest of the equipment. That affects our backups, and that can translate into performance issues during the day as well, because when backups take a really long time to run, those servers are tied up doing backups instead of being able to give quick responses to employees when they're trying to query data or access the server. It doesn't take them offline. They're still available, but they are preoccupied with doing the backup, so they run slower. And much like the photo I put in the background here, you can see traffic kind of bogging down as it gets to a smaller one lane. And that's what's happening with the Exagrid. So the new one that we're proposing runs at 10 gig. The system, we budgeted $130,000 for this system upgrade. The current quote that we have is $124,073, and that includes both systems for each site. So that's two appliances that we're looking to purchase. And if there aren't any questions, I'll go into the staff recommendation.
No questions for me.
Director Cox, do you have any questions?
No questions, but I'm impressed how close your estimate came to the actual cost.
Thank you. We definitely were in communication with this vendor ahead of time to try to make sure we were on track. So with that, unless that's it, right? Staff recommends the committee review this item and recommend forwarding to the Board of Directors for approval of the following. Staff recommends the Board of Directors approve the purchase of a new Exagrid data storage appliance from CDWG for an amount not to exceed $130,000.
Thank you. What's your feeling on this, Director Cox, as far as consent? Go over to the board for...
I can go either way on this one.
Rolly?
I think consent's fine.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and put that on consent. Next meeting, thank you. Item number 7, software spending summary.
Yeah, so this was, Trevor put this together, thank you, Trevor, in response to requests at the last PFST. There was some interest in understanding what we currently spend in terms of software, what do we have, and what the cost of those software subscriptions are. So we put together a summary of those, and Trevor walked through them for you.
Yeah, so this is gonna be kind of a quick overview. We can go as into detail as you guys want. Before we get started, I definitely have to give credit to finance. They did most of the heavy lifting for me. All I did was put the information together, so Carrie was able to help me out a lot with this. We're in the fiscal year 26, so we don't have all the hard numbers for that fiscal year. I can tell you that this year we budgeted $450,530 for software purchases and licenses, but we will spend some of that, maybe not the full amount, throughout the whole year as time goes. So we don't have hard numbers on what the actual expenditure for this year is. However, for the last fiscal year, fiscal year 2025, we do have those numbers. We budgeted $476,830 for software purchases and licensing, and we spent $349,457. Some of that, and we'll get into the details, some of the money that wasn't spent was budgeted for replacement of our Kister's whiskey database. We had planned to go with a new vendor and set up a new system, and we decided to hold off on that project, so it left a pretty big discrepancy there. So I ordered these by they're sorted by how much was spent, not how much was budgeted, and so they go from most expensive to least expensive. And our most expensive software package was going to be just under $61,000. That's our finance software. It does more than I can tell you. I can tell you how the system works. Carrie and Lauren could probably tell you all the really cool stuff it's doing for us. I know that it keeps track of all the stuff that matters, which is the money. The next most expensive one is going to be Granicus. That's the meeting management software. It does quite a bit. We actually have a package that does email broadcasts as well. We're working on potentially taking more advantage of that. One of the cool things about that option is that it's not like a constant contact and products like that, MailChimp. Only about 10 to 20% of your messages get through because everything goes straight to spam. But if you use the Granicus product, it's 100% whitelisted because it's official channels. Esri, I think most people are familiar with. Esri is our mapping software or our geomapping database. So we have a lot of information in there regarding wells, regarding pipeline locations, and we're looking to take advantage of that potentially for some of our asset management as well. ClearGov comes in next, $26,400. I don't know if you guys want me to go through each of these because there are a couple of pages of them. I figured we'd talk a little bit about the more expensive ones on the first page, and then you guys can let me know what you think.
Go ahead and discuss ClearGov, though.
Okay.
Please.
So ClearGov is the software that we use for our budgeting. So when you guys get the budget packet, it's generated in ClearGov. It's web-based or cloud-based. So one of the features that I like about it, and I'm giving you this from a user's perspective. Of course, this is a finance program, so they can tell you a little bit more about the advantages for them. But each manager or each person who's inputting budget information can do so in their own portal, and then they have access to that information. As a matter of fact, that product was really helpful for me in making this presentation because I was able to go back and pull up all the budgeted numbers, and they end up going back and putting actuals in after the fact as well. So that also makes, and correct me if I'm wrong, that makes our budget available to the public, a sanitized version. So
yeah, there's quite a heavy emphasis on the public transparency side of our budgeting through this.
Cisco SmartNet, I've done some presentations on it previously. It is basically our service support for our Cisco equipment. They provide tech support as well as hardware replacement, firmware upgrades, software, and pretty much it's our portal into Cisco to make sure all of our Cisco equipment stays up to date. They don't do the actual work. They just provide all the tools to us, and then we use CDW to do the work. But they're not a software expenditure, so they're not on here. Microsoft 365, that's what we're using for all of our office suite. So when we use Teams, when we use email, our network authentication system, and all the Microsoft products that go with that. Adobe, so we use Adobe PDF, but then we also have, and you'll see it later on down the line because it's line itemed differently. But when we say Adobe, for the most part, we mean Adobe Acrobat, which is our PDF management software. And then we have a subscription service for our firewall that updates our firewall. It can be minutely if we want it to be. I think ours is set to hourly, but it's picking up other data from the firewall network. So if one firewall, say Liberty Utilities, has the same firewall and they experience a type of hack or an attempted hack, that gets submitted back to the company, and then they integrate that into the list of things to look for the firewall and push it out to all the other firewalls. And it happens really fast. So that subscription is pretty helpful for us. We've noticed the amount of attempted attacks on our system have gone down significantly. Before we had this firewall system, we were seeing almost daily people's accounts were getting locked out because bad actors were trying to just brute force into their username and password. And of course it would lock the account after a certain number of failed attempts. But this firewall is actually blocking those before they even get a chance to attempt it just based on behavior. So we've been pretty happy with that subscription. I mentioned Kisters or Whiskey. We budgeted $100,000 for it because we were looking at potentially going with a new product. We decided we weren't ready. We wanted to be able to have our ducks a little bit more in a row before we approached that. So we didn't spend that money and ended up just renewing the service for $13,000. CrowdStrike's our antivirus. Pretty on track for that. I think CrowdStrike was in the news not too long ago. If you recall, there was a bad mix of a CrowdStrike update and a Microsoft update, and it took down a lot of computers. We experienced that. However, they're still considered to be one of the best antivirus products out, so we're still going with them. And then I'll kind of follow your guys' direction on how in detail you want me to get. I can keep going, or...
What do you think, Director Cox? How much more information?
Some of this is self-explanatory, but the ones that aren't maybe intuitive, like GovInvest, what is that? I mean, most of us know what ArcGIS is and GoToMeetings, but if you could kind of hit the ones that we may not know what they do for us, I would appreciate that.
Sure. Are there any other ones on this page besides GovInvest? I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. So Carrie's stepping up. She's going to be able to. Go ahead.
Yeah, SolarWinds would be another one next to GovInvest and then Expensify.
Sure.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, board or committee, excuse me. So GovInvest is a software platform. They prepare our government accounting standards for retirement and our OPEB. So each year we have to have a report that's done, and it's a lot of actuarial information that goes into it. So we pay for them to prepare both of those reports for us on the pension side and on the post-employment benefit side. They also have a platform where we can go in and kind of do some future forecasting, you know, if we want to add in new employees and see what that might look like when it comes to future pension liabilities.
Thank you.
Any further questions on that one?
Carrie, could you, suggest if you could describe Expensify.
Yeah, so Expensify we use for our credit cards, and anytime a credit card charge comes in, it goes into Expensify, and then it's an easy platform for the employees to go ahead and upload their receipts, so everything is right there and verifiable, and then the auditors also have access to that, so every year they can log into Expensify and make sure that we're following, what all the standards are, and make sure we have all the backup for the credit card charges.
Tyler doesn't do that, huh?
Tyler does not. In the past, we'd have hard copies. You know, everything was hard copy. Receipt would have to be given into it was just a whole lot of paper shuffling.
Okay, thank you.
Could you describe SolarWinds?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about SolarWinds. SolarWinds is an IT tool. So we use SolarWinds. It manages, or I shouldn't say manages, but monitors our network. We can go into SolarWinds and look up which IP address goes to which computer, which hardware that machine is running, which user was the last to log into it, and then we can take a look at some of the network traffic coming to and from those machines. An example would be, and this had happened at a previous job, but we had a printer that had a bad network card and it was poisoning the network. So it was flooding the network with bad traffic, and all the routers and switches were spending all their time trying to figure out this gibberish network traffic, and it brought the network to its knees. Using SolarWinds, we were able to figure out which device specifically was sending that traffic out, and we just unplugged that printer and everything came up. So it gives us some tools for a little bit of insight into what's going on the wire. Instead of just a little blinking green light that tells me there's network traffic, I can dig in a little deeper and see what kind of network traffic and what kind of equipment is communicating. And it probably has even more features. I think David could have probably explained what he's using SolarWinds for more than I could have, but that's the overview for it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think we're good.
Yeah, this is a really interesting presentation. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And I will point out that we obviously won't be spending the Exagrid support money this year, because if we purchase a new Exagrid, then that'll be included. Any questions on any of the products on this page?
Page Freezer, what is that?
Page Freezer is something that we use to keep track of our social media and our web content. It archives that information so that if we get a Public Records Act request, then that information is available to us from a historical perspective. We could go back and say, oh, here's what was on our web page on this date and time. Did I get that right, Charlene?
Yeah.
Correct, yes, and social media is included. Go ahead.
So Veritas, we budgeted $2,000, but it cost us $10,000. Can you explain what we use that program for?
Yeah, that might be a typographical error. I think that there's probably an extra zero in there. We use Veritas, and I know for a fact it's not that expensive. But Veritas used to be called Backup Exec. It's a product that's made by Symantec, so we use it for our server backups. It backs up our databases, servers, and any computers that need to have images backed up.
So is everything on this page related to the computer systems?
No. CoreLogic is used for WaterMaster, and it has real estate information. So I think that's a product they use to access the MLS to get information about plots of land and figure out, I think they're using it to figure out who to contact for certain plots of land. Let's see. And Bluebeam.
Bluebeam, yeah.
So Bluebeam is a product that our engineering team is using. It helps them review plans. So Bluebeam is a reference, I think, to blueprints, and they're using it for annotations on blueprints. They're not using it to create them. It's just a way, it's a product they use for reviewing them.
Do you have any other questions, Kimberly, on the rest of them?
No. Thank you.
Does everything stand out on there that you think that we need to know?
I don't think so. I mean, some of this stuff is, and we're getting into pretty small dollar amounts, so some of it's pretty small potatoes, and a lot of it is stuff that are specific to a certain group. Maybe one or two people use that software, and then it's not like an agency-wide sort of product. And then this is the last page. And then the only thing I'll point out is we had planned to do some server upgrades at the very bottom. And that's why it's at the bottom, is because we ended up spending zero of those dollars. We focused more on actually upgrading the hardware rather than the software for that fiscal year.
What's the audio?
So what is Golden Software?
Golden Software, and these are the products that are a little bit more obscure, so I don't have as much detail. I believe Golden Software is something that is being used to make, I think they make rockware, which is something that the geologists are using. And I actually couldn't tell you a lot about what they're using it for, but I know that that's where it's going.
And what about the audio?
Kenny, you want to explain audio? And I actually think there was supposed to be an extra I in there.
Hey, good morning, board. So audio is one of our sort of non-copyrighted music libraries that we have a subscription to. And that music is usually played in the background of our videos that we produce. And that way, when we throw that on our social media channels, it doesn't get flagged for any sort of copyright issues. So it's a huge library of non-copyright issues that you get access to with a subscription.
Okay, thank you.
And if there's nothing else for this page, I will move on. And that's kind of it for the software. That broke down everything that we had in the finance system that we spend money on for software. Some of it's big stuff. Some of it you can see we have some small products here and there. But I'm happy to take any further questions or discussion.
Director Cox, do you have any other questions?
Oh, just thank you for putting this together. It's really interesting to see all the pieces and parts that work behind the scenes to make the agency work, and especially at the board level. We don't see all of these programs, so I really appreciate knowing what is there working behind the scenes for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Director Raleigh.
No. Interesting. I had no idea there was that many nuts and bolts to that.
Well, and that's just the software for my department. I mean, if you look at the other departments, they're all complex.
Presentation. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Trevor, for providing us with that. No more questions on that, so we'll go to item 8, which is public participation.
None at this time.
9, general manager's report.
Nothing in addition to report, thank you.
All right, thank you. And 10, any comments or discussion for future agenda items? Kimberly?
I'm good.
Okay, perfect. Director Ollie, any thoughts?
No, nothing, thank you.
Okay. I have nothing as well. Okay, then if that is it, thank you everyone for attending and have a great day, and we are adjourned.